Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Genesis, chapter number 12 tonight. It's ironic how God works. That song is going to go along with my message tonight. And my message title tonight is, Here Am I, Take Me on a Journey. And who's going to lead you on that journey? It's going to be the Lord. Amen. And we ought to be excited about those things. When I was in Israel, God impressed upon my heart as I was sitting there. I believe it was that Friday, actually, before I was getting ready to take off. And we were in one of our last areas of touring the city before we went up to Calvary and to the tomb. God impressed upon my heart, here are my moments of men who did great things for God. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be dealing with a Here Am I moment with a different guy probably each week and have a different theme for this. And so tonight's theme is Here Am I, Take Me on a Journey, Lord. We're all, when you think about this, we all go through a journey in life. And sometimes we don't know what that journey is. We don't know what it's going to behold beyond the clouds, if we can say that, which I just did. Sometimes they're exciting, sometimes they're scared. A couple weeks ago, I'll be honest with you, I don't like flying. I really don't. Were you afraid of heights? No, I don't care to fall. That's my problem. And I can look out the airplanes we take off, and as soon as we get up to the height, I shut it, and then I'll look out the window when we begin to descend. But I don't like the flying part of it. But the Lord took me on a journey a few weeks ago that it was a great opportunity for me to go. But if I let my fears keep me away from getting on the airplane, I would have missed out on a tremendous blessing in my life. And so often we allow our fears to keep us from going on a journey in life that God has called each of us specifically to do. You're a child of God tonight, in which I believe that I'm speaking to children of God. God has a journey for you. He wants you to go down that path that sometimes isn't so desirable. But so often we close the doors upon the journey that God has lying ahead of us. And when that happens, we begin to miss out on many opportunities. And I'm going to share some things with you tonight about Abraham. Verse number 9 of chapter number 12 of Genesis, and it says, And Abram journeyed. Abram journeyed, meaning that he was going to a place that God had called him to go to. If you go back to verse number 1 and verse number 2, we'll get there in a little bit. My 4 points that I want to share with you tonight is, before I forget all these, why choose me? We've all asked that question. We know when God knocks on our heart and begins to pry the doors of our heart, we know that he is choosing us for something. And without a doubt, we say within our minds, don't say it outwardly at times, we might say it to our spouses, but we say, why choose me? God, why do you want me to do this? The simple answer is because you're his child. He has the right to choose you. And so that's the first point we're going to deal with tonight. The second point that we're going to deal with tonight, when will your journey start? And I got an answer for you with that. And the third point is, will I be in harm's way? A lot of folks take that consideration when they hear and learn of their journey in life that God has called them to do, and automatically they begin to think, is this journey that God has called me to do, is it going to put me in harm's way? And that allows our fears to set in, and we miss out on those opportunities because we don't want to face some things in life. And then the last point that we'll deal with tonight, where will I go? Most of us are concerned about the destination that we're going to end up in. And to be quite honest with you, when it comes to that point, we don't need to worry about where we're going to go as long as God's leading us to that destination. Amen? So those are the points that we're going to deal with tonight. Here am I. Here am I, God. Take me on my journey. Abram was on his journey. This is a question that is so often asked when God calls an individual to do great things. Do you realize tonight God has called every single one of us to do something great in your life for him? He has called you to do that. He has called you to go on a journey and say, hey, I'm here, God, I'm available. You saved my soul from hell to heaven, and I want to take a journey with you. And we go on a journey with God, and so often we are excited about those things, but so often we don't get excited about those things. And my thing just went really small, and I'm going to have a hard time to read this. But God has called us to go there. He's chosen you specifically. It has also become an opportunity that people so often have ignored the voice of God. They have known that God has spoken to them specifically about some things in life, and when God wants to do some work in their life, and God, and they hear the voice of God, and they ignore God's voice, and so they miss out on an opportunity. God has a sincere desire to take you on an important journey in life. He has that desire to use you. God doesn't have to use us for anything, but He desires to use you. And when He desires to use you, we got to understand one thing. It's not for your glory, it's for His glory. I've often heard people bragging about other folks. Oh, so-and-so went to the mission field, and they won thousands and thousands and thousands of souls to Christ. And they begin to glorify that individual, when in fact we should be glorifying God for choosing that individual to go and giving that individual the ability to do what he needed to do. So God has a desire to use you in a journey in your life. A journey that you can be guaranteed for one thing, to expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. One thing that I didn't realize when I went to Israel here a few weeks ago was the altitude that is there. Again, I don't like heights, but for this reason, I don't like to fall. And we are going through some very treacherous mountain ranges in the Israeli area that I had no idea existed. And those bus drivers that are over there, God bless them, and I mean that sincerely, because they're doing God's work. They're showing people God's country. And we're going through some places that buses would not fit in. I was telling Pastor here a few weeks ago, everybody has been to camp. We have rented an Aero bus on many different occasions. And as we go up to that chow hall area, they're all skeptical. Am I going to make this turn? Israeli bus drivers wouldn't even think about it. They would drive through that thing like you wouldn't believe. Well, expect the unexpected. And I was driving down the road, and I'm on the bus, and I'm towards the back, and I'm doing good. And I'm enjoying myself, and I'm seeing the beautiful scenery that's out in front of me. Then all of a sudden, I'm like this, Lord, help me. I literally were on the bus, and it was nothing but a drop. And those who have been to Costa Rica, I've never been there, but I've heard your stories, where as you're driving along, you're afraid you're going to fall off. Those are some of the areas that we're in. Expect the unexpected, because things aren't always going to go your way. What do you mean? You're going to be out of your comfort zone. I was out of my comfort zone. I would have rather been driving at that point in time, to be honest with you. And so expect the unexpected when you're on the journey with the Lord. This can be your moment when you're on your journey with the Lord. This can be your moment and say, here am I, God, use me, take me on a journey. Take me on a journey. Well, when will that journey start? It will begin at the moment when you say yes to your Lord. When you finally realize that the things on this earth aren't of that necessarily important, they don't really matter besides the souls for eternity, and you say, yes, God, I want to be used of you, I want to be used by you, and I want you to be glorified through me. That is when your journey will begin. Abram was told by God to leave his country. In the book of chapter number 12 of Genesis, verse number 1, it says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And that land that he is talking about here is later explained, and that is the land of Canaan. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Abram was told by God to leave his country, leave everything that he was familiar with, leave his family. all those things that he grew up with, all those things that were of great importance to him, his siblings, his families, his aunts and his uncles, things that were of importance to him. And he was told to leave to an unfamiliar place from a familiar place. And really what was taking place in the life of Abraham at this point in time, he wasn't Abraham yet, of course, but he is Abram, was he was in his comfort zone. And a lot of us, in our journey in life, we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone. While I was sailing on the Sea of Galilee, and that was a tremendous experience of my life, and we sailed the Sea of Galilee on a Sunday morning. We had a short service on the boat, and I began to reminisce in Scripture what Peter did. I'm on the very sea that Jesus walked on the water and calmed the storms, and the disciples are looking at him and say, "Jesus, is that you?" And he says, "Yes, it is I." And Peter says, "Hey, Lord, can I come to you?" And Peter is granted that request by Jesus, and Peter steps out of his what? We say the boat, but Peter was really stepping out of his comfort zone. And he began to take that walk towards Jesus. Now, automatically, Peter begins to be criticized because what happens with Peter? He's out of his comfort zone, isn't he? He's no longer in the boat of safety with the other disciples. He's no longer comforted by them, but now he's in a place of unfamiliarity. He's in a place of uncomfortableness, and now he probably begins to panic, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and what does he do? He begins to sink, and we all criticize Peter for this. We all say, well, Peter didn't have the faith in God. He lost faith in God. He took his eyes off of God, and he began to sink. But what took place in the life of Peter? Did it not take faith in Peter to reach his hand out to Jesus, for Jesus to take his hand, to keep him from sinking? Even though he was not in his comfort zone, he still knew who to call upon, and that was his Lord. His Lord, as he began to reach out his hand, reached out his hand towards Peter and grabbed him and brought him into a place of what? Comfort and safety. In order for us to get to a place of comfort and safety, you and I need to step out of our comfort zone. We need to step out of our comfort zone. The other amazing thing that I saw there that I did not know that took place, it was I think 5 or 6 years ago, they discovered a first century boat in the Sea of Galilee. And it's not a complete boat because it's been under the mud for many years now, and they took great work to preserve this boat because immediately when they begin to take away the waters from the boat, as they begin to excavate it, it became like a sponge and it began to disintegrate, and automatically they had to react very fast to preserve the boat because the sun was drying it up, and it was decaying very quickly, and they began to spray some foam around it and raised that first century boat out of the water. Now is on display right off the Sea of the Galilee. And I got some pictures of that. It was totally amazing. But here we see that was all free. That was nothing to be done with this. But I just thought I'd share that with you because that was exciting for me. But we need to get out of our place of comfort to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, when we're on our journey with Him. Now, as we take our journey with the Lord, there are going to be some things that take place in your life and in my life, and that is discouragement. We all face discouragement. We all, at times, become defeated by discouragement. I am one of those. I get discouraged very easily, and I allow my discouragement to defeat me. But I quickly realize that I don't need to be defeated, and I don't need to stay defeated because I'm victorious through Jesus Christ. But one of the things that brings me to my discouragement as I'm trying to go on my journey with the Lord so I can be used by God, there's somebody that creeps into my life daily that wants to discourage me from going on a journey. And who might that person be? No, it's not your spouse. It's not your children. It's not your pastor. It is Satan himself. And the reason why I say Satan himself, because Satan doesn't want you to have a journey with God. Satan doesn't want you to go on a journey with God so that he doesn't want you to see a relationship begin to develop with your Lord and with your Savior. He wants to discourage you and he wants to defeat you. And so often, many of God's children allow themselves to be defeated. They give in to Satan's attacks and his tactics and how he tries to discourage you. And he keeps many of God's people from serving him. But I'm thankful for the ones who stand up against Satan and say, Satan, get behind me. You no longer have control over me. I'm victorious over you because of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You're not going to distract me to go on my journey with my Lord. Get behind me. I'm thankful for men and women who say those very things. God tells Abram, as he goes on this journey, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, he says, he will bless him. Not only will he bless him, he says, and he will make his name great among the people. And it's nothing that Abram is going to do himself, but it's what God is going to do through Abram at this point in time in his life. Abram, in verse number 4, we see here, as I read, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old when God was speaking to him, say, Abram, I want you to go on a journey because I'm going to use you. And Abram says, yes. Without hesitation, without taking his age into consideration here, he decided, I want God to use me. I want to go on this journey with him. I want God to be glorified in my life. And he wasn't going to allow things to distract him from this. He takes his wife, his nephew Lot, and depends upon God for two things, for care and for protection. Well, why does he depend upon God for care and protection? Because Abram is leaving his familiar surroundings. The familiar surroundings that many of us are scared to leave from. Many of us are scared to get out of the boats. Many of us are scared to get on a land that we have no idea what lies ahead of us. And so Abram depends on God, that God will take care of him, and that God will provide the things that he needs in his life. Yes, Abram could have been like many believers today and back then, and he could have said no. But this is where Abram is different. He didn't say no. He said yes. I know men in my life that you have no idea who they are, who have been called to the ministry at a young age in their life and a middle age in their life. They said yes to God. They said, yes, God, I'm going to go into the ministry. I'm going to take this journey with you. And then for some reason, they get distracted. They stop depending upon God, and they're stopped dead in their tracks, and they're no longer in the ministry or no longer have a desire to go and do what God has called them to do. Abram is dependent. Abram said, yes, I will go. His journey had started in Abram's life. Because of this, his life will be forever changed. Not only his life, but many lives to follow. Think about this. Well, how does Abram's life affect my life? What did God promise Abram? He's going to make a great nation out of thee. What is that great nation that he made out of him? It's not hard. Who? Israel, exactly. The Jews. The Jews. God's elect people. The people that rejected Christ. And because they rejected Christ, guess what happens, folks? We as Gentiles are grafted in when we accept him. Many lives were affected by this. He could have said no. Think about the consequences if Abram would have said no. Would we be standing here today? Would we be reading our Bible today if one man would have said no to go on a journey with the Lord? But fortunately for us, he said yes. His journey started, and it was forever changed in his life. Well, the third question that we asked is, will I be in harm's way? A lot of folks ask this question when they know that God is prodding them to do something miraculous. Will I be in harm's way? And it's not just necessarily going to a foreign country to be a missionary, but I want you to think about it like this. God brings individuals into our lives every single day, does he not? And God prods our heart to go to individuals to speak to them about Christ. And one of the things that comes to our mind because of the society that we live in, well, if I go up to him, will I put myself in harm's way? And we worry about those things. And that's something that you and I really should not be worried about. There is a book that I read as a young kid going to school here, and it was called The Fox's Book of the Martyr Cones. Did I say that right? Yes. What's the correct title? Yeah, I said it. You just didn't hear me correctly. I said it correctly. And in this book, it's about a group of believers who went on a journey and were killed for their faith. They were martyred for their faith. They didn't worry about the consequences. They stood up for God when they had a chance to deny Christ and to deny God, and they took on death head on. They literally faced death. They didn't allow those consequences to scare them away. They allowed harm to come in. Think about this, though. As I said that, are we really putting ourselves in harm's way when we're doing something for God? Well, Chad, you just talk about people losing their life. Let me remind you of something. As a believer, you don't die. You don't die. You pass from here, and you're forever in the presence of the Lord. You don't die. You pass away. Your life, yes, is ended here on earth, but you're in the presence of an almighty God. Why allow those circumstances to deter you? I like what J.R. Rice said. I used to read the newsletters at Sword of Lord. Do you still get those here? I used to read those quite a bit in school because I didn't read my schoolwork. But I know a lot about the Sword of the Lord. And I remember reading one of the stories. Pastors said it many times. I believe the story goes like this. John R. Rice was approached one day and somebody pointed a gun in his head. And you know what his response was? You can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. Why worry about the harm that will come our way? Regardless how you look at it, God's going to take care of you. Regardless how you look at it, God's going to take care of you. Now my thing decided to go four times bigger than what it was. Okay. Will I be in harm's way? We don't need to worry and fret about how life might end up for us. We don't need to worry about those things. I'm serious. For almost 3 months after I got the privilege of being asked to go to Israel, you know what I worried about for 3 months? I thought to myself, I only have 3 months left to live because I'm going to die in a plane. I kid you not, I worried about those things for 3 months. And I was foolish for thinking of those things. One, because I wasn't dependent upon God to get me through a situation that I'm not comfortable with. We don't need to worry. We don't need to waste time fretting about those things and how life might end up for us. Instead, we need to be concerned about going on a journey with God and allowing Him to lead and guide your life. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. What great encouragement that you and I have tonight as believers that an almighty God wants to lead your life through a journey. All we have to do is be willing to say, God, here am I. Take me on this journey. Lord, use me. Glorify yourself through me. But so often we ignore that voice. God tells Abram in chapter 15, go ahead and turn there. Chapter 15 in verse number 1, because we're concerned about if harm is going to come our way. We're concerned if we're going to be harmed. Verse number 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, what's those next two words? Fear not. We don't need to worry about if we're in harm's way. We don't need to fear not, because look at what God promises Abram at this point in time. What's he say? For the first four words, I am thy what? Shield. Exactly. So when you think of shield, you automatically think of a piece of armor. Do you not? That's what I think of. So I'm thinking of this shield, this piece of armor that a military guy would use back in the day as they fought in those times. And so one particular thing that I notice about a shield, where is it placed? A shield will do you no good if it's placed behind you. The shield that God is talking about, that he is doing for Abram at this point in time in his life, the same thing that he will do for you is where? It is in front of you. When God calls you to go on a journey, and you're willing to go with him, God's going to shield you. Well, what's that mean? Well, what's this word shield? It means protection. God will protect you. God will take care of you. And that's a promise that he's given to Abram at this point in time. And not only says that, he says, in thy exceeding great reward. So God tells Abram that he will use him, he will shield for him, and God is his great reward. But so often, here's what takes place. We rob ourselves of blessings because we worry about how the journey with God might not go in our favor. Meaning we try to control the outcome of things. And so we don't know how this journey is going to end up. And we close out those things that are we've been asked to do. And we close those thoughts out. And we shut those things out. And we say no. And when we say no, we're robbing ourselves of blessings. Those individuals that I talked to you about that were called into the ministry, that God wanted to use them, and they shut the doors on God, and they said, no, God, I'm not available. I'm not here for you. I don't want to go on this journey with you, have robbed themselves of a blessing. Think about this. How many lives could have been changed in their ministry? How many souls could have been saved from hell to heaven? We'll never know, because they didn't go. They said no to the journey. Don't worry about if it's not going to end up in your favor or not. Don't allow this to rob yourself of a blessing. Instead, here's what happens. And a lot of you folks will get this when I say this. Here's what takes place. Instead, we will sit in our blessed assurance and never have a moment in life where we say, here am I, God. Use me. Take me on my journey. Instead, we want to stay back home. We want to sit in the pews. We'd rather have the pastor do something else. We'd rather have the associate pastor do this. We'd rather have the deacons do this. We'd rather have the trustees do this. And we rob ourselves of blessings because we're closing the door on a journey that God wants to take us through in life. Because he desires to use you. He wants to use you greatly for his kingdom. But we say no because we're scared about some things. Why choose me, God? Why not? Well, where am I going to go? Who cares? Who cares where you're going to go? God knows the destination. That's all that matters. Well, God, am I going to be in harm's way? Who cares? Who cares about those things? Because God wants to use you. So don't allow those things to stop you from going on this journey with the Lord. Okay, the fourth one that we're going to come to is, where will I go? It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't. What matters is allowing God to guide us through the journey that he has called us to go through and what he has in store for you. If I would allow fear to set place in my life a month ago, I would have robbed myself of a tremendous blessing of never seeing the holy city. Never being able to experience to have walked in the tomb, to never be able to see Calvary, to never be able to see the Pool of Siloam that I've read about so often, where the blind man was told to go wash his eyes so that he could see. By the way, that was a very treacherous walk. What if the blind man would have said, "No, Lord, I don't see you. I felt that you put something on my eyes, but I don't want to take this journey." Folks, that walk down to the Pool of Siloam is a very treacherous and steep slope. But he went on his journey, and what took place? A tremendous blessing. He was able to see. His sight was restored. He could have said no. It doesn't matter where God tells you to go. Just go. It doesn't matter if God puts it on your part, on your heart, and you say, and he tells you, "Hey, you're going to go to the grocery store this evening, and there's going to be a clerk there. There's going to be some people who stock the shelves, and you're going to run into those, and I'm going to make you forget some things to where you don't know where they're at, and you're going to have to ask somebody for help. And these are people that I'm going to put in your life today on your journey so that you can be used of me." Are you going to let those opportunities slip? So often we do. Allow God to take you through this journey in life. What is keeping you today from going on your journey with God? What's keeping you? Well, I put down some thoughts of my own that kept me for a long time. Scared. Who gets scared when God speaks to them? I'll be the first one. I'll admit it. When God prods upon my heart to do something, I get scared. What do you get scared of? Well, how are they going to react? How are they going to look at me? How are they going to treat me after the fact? Am I going to be well received? Well, what if God calls me and prods me to go down the altar when the message is spoken and God really speaks to my heart? We get scared. Why do we get scared? Same reasons. Well, people are going to know that I have sin in my life and I need to take care of it. Well, amen. We can rejoice with you that you ask God to forgive you of your sins. Amen. You shouldn't be ashamed to come down. We get nervous. You know, I'm a nervous person. I really am. You should have seen me on the plane. I was nervous. And it's my first international flight, and there's a bunch of rabbis on the plane that were going back to Israel. And probably hour number 4 or 5 in the flight, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning for us, and all of a sudden, they dress in their garb, and they go to the middle of the plane, and they're doing this. And I'm thinking to myself, "Lord Jesus, come." Because I didn't know what was going on. I've never seen this before on a plane. I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, we got some foreigners, and I believe they're God's people. I'm hoping something good's going to come out of this." But what I found out later on is that was their time of prayer. And they do this for a reason. If you ever go to the Wailing Wall, you'll figure that out. That's what they do because they're not allowed inside the mosque. So they're outside the Wailing Wall, and they're weeping, they're lamenting, wanting to get in. Get nervous. I got nervous. I couldn't sleep on the plane. I was wanting to sleep so bad on the way home because I spent 10 days with a guy who snored like you wouldn't believe. Who's got some people beat in this room, and I won't say names because I love them and I don't want to embarrass them. And I was tired because for the first 4 days I didn't sleep. And as I began to doze off on the plane home and here we hit some terminals, I'm freaking out. I'm not kidding you. I get nervous. But we shouldn't allow our nerves to keep us from serving God. Afraid of being taken out of our comfort zone. We're scared, we're nervous, and then we're afraid of being taken out of our comfort zone. Folks, that's where you and I need to be. Taken out of our comfort zone. I'm a shy individual. I'm a, what people would might cause me as a doctoral classification, I am an introvert. I am an introvert like you wouldn't believe. God takes me out of my comfort zone. And I allow God to use me. Do you think it's comfortable for me to speak? I'm a shy individual. Whenever I introduce myself to people, it's hard for me to say hello because the wrong words come out. You guys hear me all the time. Wrong, what just happened there? Wrong words come out. You need to allow yourself to be taken out of your comfort zone. Or the fourth question is, you might possibly not have a desire at all. This could be one of the four categories that you're all in. You're scared, you're nervous, You don't want to be taken out of your comfort zone. And lastly, you might not have a desire. You might not have a desire to have a journey with God, to go down that road with Him so that He can use you. I hope that is that you tonight. I hope that you settle with God. Say, God, change my heart. Give me a desire to be used of you so that you can be glorified. God, whatever it is, use me. Abram could have possibly have thought all these four things. Scripture doesn't say this. I'm only saying this because I know how I think as an individual. But we see that he was willing to go. Chapter number 13, we read something very interesting here. As he's on this journey with him, chapter 13, verse number 14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." When I landed in Israel, I'm going to be honest with you, that wasn't my first thought. I went with a guy named Logan. Here's a funny story about Logan. We're on the Mount of Olives. And as you're on the Mount of Olives, there is a guy that jumps out and takes a group picture of everybody. And you have the Mount of Olives right in front of you, and right behind you, you have the Eastern Gate. What a beautiful sight. And this guy comes up to Logan, and he looks at him. We all have our name tags. We're worth 33 people, and plus we want the Israelites to know our names. It's very helpful. And he walks up to Logan. He's looking at his name tag. He goes, "Logan?" And Logan's looking very confused. And you know Logan. He's been here before. He's preached. He's like, "Not Logan." He figured out. He goes, "Logan." He's like, "No, Logan, like Facebook." So we call Logan for the rest of the trip. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And we changed Logan's name to Logan, like Facebook. But Logan, as we landed, he walked up to me, and we're outside. He says, "Chad, you know the first thing that came to my thoughts?" I said, "No, what's that?" He says, "When God said to Abraham, 'As far as the eye can see, it is yours.'" Boy, that began to resonate with me because I began to look around. And I begin to see all of the beauty that God had there in the day when Jesus was walking. In the time of Abraham and Moses, I begin to think, wow, what a great thought. How did Abram get to this point? Because he was willing to go on a journey with God. He didn't allow his familiar things that he loved so much to keep him from going down this road, this journey that he had no idea how it was going to end up. Those things didn't bother him. Those things didn't concern him. But he went. And God rewarded him. And God blessed him. Why was he rewarded? Well, he was rewarded for his willingness. That's where you and I need to be in our lives. We need to be willing to go on a journey with the Lord. Don't worry about where you're going to go. Don't worry about the harm that might come in your way. Don't worry about how things are going to end up. Just be willing to go. That ought to excite you that God wants to use you. He wants to use you. God has great plans for you. God has a desire to do great things for His kingdom. So I'm going to encourage you, start today and begin your journey by saying, "Here am I." It's exactly what Abram said to God. "Here am I, God. Take me on this journey that you want to take me on. I'm going." Get out of that comfort zone. Get out of that boat. And allow yourself to be used of God. You'll see many and great things that you wouldn't think is even possible. But you first got to be willing. As far as the eye can see, Abram, it's yours. Here's your reward. It's yours. Why rob yourself of a blessing from God because of your unwillingness, if that's the case, because you're scared, because you're nervous, or you have no desire at all. Where would I be today if I didn't have parents who weren't willing to go on a journey with God? Where would my life be? Because they said yes, I was able to say in my life, yes, Lord, save me. It takes a willing person. And I'm so thankful for that. Where would you be spiritually if someone didn't intervene in your life because God wanted to use an individual to speak to you? We should have a desire to be used greatly of God to go on a journey. Let's stand with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. I'll have the pianist come up and I'll have Pastor take over, but I'm going to have a real quick prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. Thank you for wanting to use us, to take us down a road that we have no idea where it might take us. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a willing heart to go wherever it may be. And I ask it in your name. Amen.